this episode of African American Times with host Darrell London.
CNN that Chicago police believe Jussie Smollett paid two men to orchestrate the assault.
Darrell discusses the latest allegations that Empire actor Jussie Smollett orchestrated the attack that was reported to police on January 29th in Chicago.
How instrumental a character he's been, a person he's been in the Black community and the LGBTQA community. So this is a real unfortunate event. There have been questions swirling around this account since day one. I think there was a parallel conversation that was happening in private DMs and on Twitter about the veracity of this story. People publicly supported him. People quietly may have questioned whether or not this story was indeed true, questioned the plausibility of this story. Again, I think that it is unfortunate if it comes out that this is indeed a hoax. I think it'll be deeply problematic for his career and the trajectory of his career.
From the very beginning, Jussie Smollett's story didn't make sense. On January 29th, Jussie alleged at 2 a.m., two men attacked him. At 2 a.m., the temperature in Chicago was about 5 degrees with a wind chill way below zero. This is an important fact in this alleged attack. Because I said on social media, who is walking around at 2 a.m. in the heavily Democratic city of Chicago with a noose, some bleach, and yelling, "This is MAGA country," during the coldest winter ever? I posted that something about the story didn't add up. The details of the story at the time was that the openly gay Empire actor was jumped by two men on his way home from a late night, very early morning food run at a 24-hour Subway restaurant in the Streetville neighborhood. So for those of you all who don't know, the Streetville neighborhood is an upscale area sandwiched between Michigan Avenue on the west and Lakeshore Drive on the east, and from the Chicago River on the south up to Chicago Avenue on the north. So famous people that lived in the area or just around that area was Oprah Winfrey, Jerry Springer, Bernie Mac long ago before he passed away. And oh yes, Jussie Smollett lived in that neighborhood. Immediately, what was most odd about the initial reports was that he was attacked by two guys who yelled, "This is MAGA country." They threw bleach on him and put a noose around his neck. The story seemed fishy because it was way too much going on in a random attack. And again, who is walking around downtown Chicago in 5-degree temperature and a wind chill way below zero with bleach looking to attack someone? I had posted on social media that the attack didn't add up, and the gay community came after me, saying to give him the benefit of the doubt, and that it's people like me who make it hard for Black gay victims of assault to come forward. So I said, all right, I'll reserve my additional comments until more information come out. See, being from Chicago, I kept tabs on the story, often checking in with police friends who also began to doubt the story, but really wanted to give Jussie the benefit of the doubt. Because it was an alleged hate crime, the FBI was even called in to help with the investigation. So the story got international attention and stayed in the media for weeks. The Chicago police dedicated 12 detectives, 12, and some other, additional law enforcement professionals to this case. So not long after the last attack, just a couple of days later, Jussie went on to perform in Los Angeles, where he claimed he fought back and that he was the gay Tupac, which was absolutely laughable. What also raised suspicion was a delay in Jussie turning over his cell phone records to the police, right? So he eventually did so, and CPD stated the information was limited and heavily redacted. So rumors were still swirling around Chicago that the story was made up. Then on Wednesday of this week, Jussie did an on-camera interview with Robin Roberts. And for me, who have investigated complaints, I could tell by his body language, his voice inflections, his eye movements, that he was not telling the truth, the whole truth, so help him God. I sat back in my seat and said, oh my God, he's lying. The latest update is sources say the police asked Jussie's attorney to bring him to answer some additional questions. But I tell you, what's going to happen is they're probably going to end up arresting him and charging him for for filing a false police report. Since Jesse's actions, once finally proven to be false, and he's arrested, it is his actions that have set the victim movement back because of people like him who's seeking fame, and not those of us who question the validity of a story when things doesn't add up. Now, this is no way an attack on victims. I want victims to come forward. I want victims to have their voice heard. I want victims to be believed. I want victims to come forward and to tell the truth. And so when you have someone who's making up stories, who's lying, who's not being fully forthcoming, that causes an issue of trust. Now, you cannot apply Jesse's situation to all victims. You cannot apply Jesse's situation to all black people. You cannot apply Jesse's situation to all gay people. You cannot do that. It would be wrong to say all blacks and all gays and all victims are gonna lie and shouldn't be believed. This is his mess. He created it. He has to own it. And it all lays at his feet. For African American Times, it's my opinion, and I'm Darrell Arnold.